Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group, offers securities and investment advisory services through Waddell & Reed Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC, and a federally registered investment advisor. FRS Financial Group is a separate entity from Waddell & Reed. Insurance products are offered through insurance companies with which Waddell & Reed has sales arrangements. The information presented on this show is solely for information purposes and is not to be construed as an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to buy any financial product or service mentioned. Waddell & Reed does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult with a professional prior to making any financial decisions. Any opinions expressed are those of Rick Stevens and may not be the opinions of Waddell & Reed. The information is subject to change based on market and other conditions. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. I'm Rick Stevens. I am your host, and this is your show. Remember, if you have any questions, you can feel free to give us a call, 719-500-8700. You can send us an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com. Or you can even go to the website, frsfinancialgroup.com. Go up into that top right corner, hit the contact tab, send us a question, send us a message. We would love to hear from you. Well, folks, joining me this week, in studio, Ben Fisk from Fisk Lawnscapes. Ben, how are we doing?
Doing great, Rick. It is great to be back with you here in studio.
You know, it's early in the year, right? We're right there in the midst of our snow season, more or less. Less at this point, though, right?
Well, more is coming. We're right in that spot where we're about to get a bunch of snow.
All right. My grass needs it. It really does. Even though it's all brown, because it's supposed to be, because I heard that the last time you were in here.
That's right. Your grass isn't dead. It's probably just dormant, so long as you've been taking good care of it. It will come back, but don't forget to winter water.
Yes. Winter watering every few days when we have some good temperatures.
Every couple weeks when those temperatures are 40 degrees and above, always good to remember to do that winter watering.
Yes, indeed. So I've been doing that. I've been thinking about all these different things coming up for me, all the different stuff, you know, things to pull out, things to put in. And my question, I think, is what probably a lot of folks are thinking about, because, I mean, it is February, but, Ben, is it too early to start thinking about that late spring, summer project sort of stuff we got going on?
Yeah, it is a great time of year to start thinking about what you want to do for the spring and summer, and now is the right time to start making those plans, to start making those phone calls, to start booking those appointments. Because if you wait until you want to enjoy it, say come in May or June, then you start calling a landscaper, most of us will be booked out for months and months and months. So now is the time. If you haven't done it yet, definitely start considering that project. Start thinking about what you want in your backyard, what you want in your front yard. Again, now is the time to really start just imagining that space. I would like to tell clients, now's a great time to walk out into your yard and just take a couple of minutes and imagine what you might want to see there this season. Maybe you're thinking about adding an outdoor kitchen space. Maybe you're thinking about, hey, a fire pit in this corner of my yard would be great to entertain people because we love having people in our backyard. Maybe after this winter, you're tired of six kids in your house and you're like, we need a better outdoor play area. And so, you know, in this 30 by 30 space, we want to do a big playground area. Maybe you have four dogs. I just was talking with a client earlier this week, and their biggest design consideration was they have four big dogs. Ooh. And they're like, ooh, we need space outside to let them run. So we want to fence a fairly large property. We want to fence the whole thing with pet wire so that our dogs have a place to run and play. So, you know, you have to think about how are you going to use this space as you're stepping out and dreaming? How are we going to best use this space? And that's where an expert can come in and help you as well, to help you kind of talk through those ideas with you from that kind of design consult perspective.
Awesome. You know, one of those things that I'm sitting here thinking, I've still got snow on the north side of my house, so maybe I don't want to put a hot tub out on the north part of the house. Maybe I want to find a little bit of a sunnier spot so I don't have to trudge through snow to get there.
That's right. Yep, you got to think about where is the snow going to pile, and man, there's so many just design considerations to think through when you're talking about your yard. Maybe you're at the place now where you're ready to put a hot tub in your space in your yard.
You calling me old?
Well, you know, as those kids start to get a little bit older, you're going to start the needs that you have in your yard are actually going to change. And so something that works for, you know, a young family with kiddos, as those kiddos get out of the house, then it's going to be, oh, hey, maybe let's put in a spa area. Let's put in a hot tub. Let's put in maybe that, you know, nicer outdoor grill to throw the steaks on and wine and all that good stuff in your backyard as those kids transition out of the home.
So you're calling me old.
Well, sort of.
so all kinds of different design options out there, right? Are there things that folks need to consider? Because, you know, we hear about all kinds of the supply chain issue with this, that, and the other. When it comes to the design, when it comes to those different pieces that we can use in that landscape design, are there things that are more difficult to come by and we need to be doing that really early planning because it may not be here until May or June?
Yeah, you know, we are seeing, just like everybody else, a few considerations. Biggest thing that I can recommend is just order early, order ahead of time. Don't wait until you need something. You know, some of these projects that we're booking right now, we're already placing orders for all of the materials for that. You know, you're seeing things like outdoor grills take a little bit longer to get here, some hot tubs taking longer to get here, some of those types of things. But for the most part, if you want something, we can still find it. And, you know, even things like your shrubs and trees and your perennials, you know, supply chain has impacted some of those things a little bit as well. But again, get those orders in early, get the planning. This is why the planning is so important this time of the year. If you wait until you're like, hey, I want to go down and grab these 3 8-foot evergreen trees, for example, the nursery may not have any more of them this year if you wait until maybe middle of summer.
So that's a perfect segue there into sort of my next question here. You know, in the last few months, we've had some pretty good storms. We've seen, you know, 70, 75, 80 mile an hour winds come through. And as I'm driving out and about in the community, I still see places where folks haven't yet taken down the trees that need to come down because half of it is still laying in the yard. But at some point, I would assume folks are going to not only take it down, but want to replace that tree that was there. And whether they're replacing it with a tree, they're going to, you know, do some new design work, whatever that is. When is the best time to plant those new trees, those new bushes, those new shrubs?
Yeah, the great thing in Colorado is we can plant almost year-round in terms of trees, at least when the ground isn't frozen. So right now, the ground is a little bit frozen, but as it starts to thaw, we can start planting those trees once again. And so really, you can plant anytime when the ground isn't frozen in terms of replacing those trees. Some considerations, though, if you are going to be redesigning the space, then probably the first thing that needs to happen is we're going to come out and we're going to tear out everything that's in that space. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we want to rip out the tree, you know, rip out the roots the best you can. And oftentimes just getting down to that fresh pallet is kind of that first step of a landscape renovation. And so kind of come in, scrape out, maybe you got some old sod, maybe you have some other old perennials, those kind of things. We're going to rip all of that out, get us down to a nice space. And then we can start looking at, hey, we want to put in a couple of trees here. Maybe we need to screen the ugly neighbor house next door. Maybe we need to look at things like walkways up to the front. Maybe we need new concrete porch as a part of the project. So kind of looking at the rest of, you know, sometimes when those trees come down, it's a good opportunity to do that landscape renovation that you've been thinking about for the last couple of years.
And one of the design considerations that I will throw out there is a public service announcement for the folks that, I guess what I would say, who initially designed the landscape at my house. I'm sure that initial design was beautiful and wonderful, but what they forgot to take into consideration were that those trees were going to grow, and they are now the view from the big bay window in the master bedroom instead of Pike's Peak, because oddly enough, the trees grew.
And one of the reasons why we like meeting with our clients on site is to assess things like your view, right? So when we're on site, we're looking at, okay, where is Pikes Peak? Where is the direction that we don't want to plant something that 10, 20 years down the road is going to block views? But we're also going to look at, where do we want to screen? Do we need to screen? Maybe we're going to put in that hot tub and maybe we want some privacy. So we want to screen some areas, and other areas we want to leave open for that view. We're also going to look at what windows, you know, you have in your house that are looking out, because we don't want to put a tree right in front of a window that you're going to be having a nice view out of
Or maybe some junipers in front of a nice window to look out on.
Or, you know, like we talked about, I think last time, rip out those junipers and replace them with something else. There are other good options out there as well.
Yeah, that's there are a lot of things as I go through the house that said, you know, the house is almost 30 years old, and I'm sure 30 years ago this was a good idea, but somebody didn't have the forethought.
And now it's not, because it's only 5 feet from your foundation.
Exactly. You know, one of those things, and you kind of touched on it a little bit here, is looking at that possibility really of tearing out the entire area if I may have had one tree down. Like at my house, I've got a bunch of stuff that was planted, I'm sure, whenever the original landscaping was done. And I've got a stuff that's overgrown. I got a lot of stuff that's overgrown. I've got trees that are too close to one another now. That maybe didn't start that way, but you know, after 30 years, new trees have grown, and the small trees that were planted are bigger. So that's one of those considerations in there as well, right?
It is. And, you know, that again, that falls into this idea of a landscape renovation within your yard. And oftentimes people, what do they do inside their house? They're renovating their house. After 30 years, it's time to update some things.
Yes.
Things are worn, things are broken. So people are pretty used to, hey, we need to do a kitchen remodel. Hey, we need to do a bathroom remodel. Same is true in your yard. Not only are your needs going to change as the homeowner, but stuff is also going to grow out of it, the space that it, you know, was intended for. And stuff like your irrigation system, it's just going to be old. You know, after 30 years, it's going to need a renovation as well.
Oh, indeed.
It's going to be time for new drip emitters. It's going to be time for some of those type of upgrades. And oftentimes, the best thing to do is just take that space, scrape it all out, and kind of start fresh again. But sometimes you can do kind of a middle path, too, of like, hey, we want to save these trees. We like these trees, but we're going to wipe out everything else and kind of start over.
Awesome. Well, folks, we are up against that break in the show here. When we come back, we are going to continue talking about the landscape world, things we need to be looking at, things we need to be thinking about and considering as we move from winter into spring, and all those different things that, you know what, I might not have remembered to do this in the fall. When should I get that done by before spring really gets here? So folks, stick around. We will be right back. When your car has a problem, you go to the mechanic, right? And if you have a pain somewhere in your body, you call a doctor, don't you? So if you have questions about your finances, why wouldn't you call a professional? Hello everyone, Rick Stevens with FRS Financial Group here, and we believe that everyone deserves the opportunity to talk to a financial professional to answer those financial questions that come up. From retirement planning to budgeting to insurances and everything in between, call FRS Financial Group to help get on the right path for your financial future. It doesn't take a pile of money to be able to ask questions of the professionals, just a little bit of time. And don't forget to tune in Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. for Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. Investment services are offered through Waddell & Reed, Inc., a separate entity. Waddell & Reed Incorporated, member SIPC. Folks, thank you for sticking around through that break. Rick Stevens here on Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. We are continuing to talk today with Ben Fisk, the owner of Fisk Lawnscapes. Ben, you've been giving us some great information, things that we need to think about on that planning side, especially if it's a big project. We need to get you guys involved. You know, whether that's just something that we want to renovate, like we're renovating the house. Maybe it's something we've still got to clean up from the storms, whatever the case may be. But I'm going to talk about the normal stuff this time, right? We are here. We're coming into that season where it's going to be a good idea to have our sprinklers turned back on. What are some of those things we need to be thinking about and looking at on our sprinkler startup? I mean, should I, you know, if it's going to be nice next week, I can just turn them right back on, right?
Yeah, not so fast there. Wait till around April, April 15th, something like that, to fire the irrigation system back on. You don't want to turn the irrigation on until we're kind of outside of those freezing overnight temperatures. And so once you start looking at those overnight temperatures and we're looking at 32 degrees or above, then go ahead and fire that irrigation system back on. Sooner is always better, because you do want to start getting some water onto your yard, onto your plants. As that temperature starts to go up, those plants are starting to come out of dormancy, and this is when they start needing that water once again. So definitely really important as you fire up your irrigation system. We always recommend that you go through each zone of your sprinklers and make sure you don't have any major leaks, because one major leak can cause a lot of problems. If you just turn everything back on, turn your clock back to auto and think everything's hunky-dory, stuff breaks over the winter. Just by virtue of all the different parts and components of your irrigation system, things will break. And so we recommend turning it on and then go through each zone on your clock and walk around your yard, kind of verify that everything is working as it should. If it's not working, this is where either you can try to repair it yourself or call a professional to come out and repair it for you.
And I don't need to just look at the sprinkler heads, right? I learned this last year that I'm doing the exact thing, right? I'm turning on each individual zone, giving it a few minutes to, you know, not only get up and get pressurized and get going, but to see, okay, am I getting the right coverage going? Are we overlapping stuff? Are we 10 feet apart and I need to go, uh-oh, I might need a new sprinkler head because this one just won't actually put it the right direction or that for me. But I also discovered last year, and I wouldn't typically look at this other than it was a very dry day, and I discovered in between two sprinkler heads, there was a puddle that had formed.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not just looking at the sprinkler heads, right? I need to make sure that everything's working all the way through.
Yeah, let each zone run for 5 or 10 minutes and make sure you don't have any puddles. A puddle is an indication of an underground leak, as you
yes.
discovered. And other things can happen too. A sprinkler head could have gotten kicked by a child, could have been eaten by a dog, could have been hit by the snowblower, could have been hit by your shovel, could have been run over with a car tire. There's so many things that could have happened that, you know, just damaged it a little bit. And, you know, you have a sprinkler head or the housing that's cracked. And now you got water kind of bubbling from around the sprinkler head, and so that sprinkler head's going to need replaced. And so, there's a multitude of things that could have happened with your irrigation. So turn each one on, let it run 5, 10, 15 minutes. Your yard needs it. And so, and check your coverage. And again, you know, make sure you do have that overlapping coverage and some of those things. But the biggest thing that we're looking for is, we don't want to be wasting a ton of water as you fire up your system. And so this is where you're really checking to make sure you don't have any major leaks or minor leaks, because even a minor leak dripping over the course of the entire summer can be hundreds of thousands of dollars on your water bill. Check your drip system as well. We didn't talk about your drip system, but go around and verify that your drip system is working as it should. I always recommend going to some plants in your front yard, some plants in your backyard, some plants on your side yard, kind of the different areas that you have the drip system in, and kind of find the drip emitter. You may have to get your hands a little dirty, find the drip emitter and make sure that it's still dripping the way that it's supposed to, and just verify that you have water in all of those areas. We've seen squirrels chew through lines in the off season in the winter months, because they're really thirsty and they can kind of smell that water. And so they're chewing into it. I've seen rabbits chew into it. We've seen freeze breaks, all sorts of things that can happen even on your drip line. So go through, perform that, do it on a Saturday or sometime when you have a little bit of time to kind of go through. And it's going to really help your yard as we launch into spring.
Awesome. You know, we're launching into spring. The last time you were on, you had talked about winter fertilizing, right? And not getting the stuff that causes the grass to green up, but actually just feeds it. So that, yes, it should not look green right now. It should look dormant. When it comes to that preseason, that spring fertilization, What do we need to be looking at and thinking about with it?
Yeah, what a great question. We're getting right to about the time of the year when we want to look at a pre-emerge type of fertilizer. And what a pre-emergent is going to do is it's going to keep things like your crabgrass under control, or perhaps your dandelions or other weeds that you would have coming up in your yard. And the time to put that down is right before things start greening up. So kind of that first week of March is a great kind of reminder time to do that. And it's going to have some other good nutrients in your in that fertilizer blend as well. So any type of pre-emerge fertilizer, early spring, sometimes you see the label says early spring, something like that is going to be great.
So on that dandelion side, because oddly enough, I take care of the dandelions in my yard, but the neighbors don't always do. Should I just go put the pre-emerger down through the whole neighborhood? Is that my best bet, Ben?
Hey, you know what? If you want to go out and bless all the neighbors like that, I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you're going out and taking care of the whole neighborhood.
You know, it's that thing that I always look at it as it's the losing battle. It doesn't matter how much I do. If I got somebody 2, 3, 4 houses down, those are gonna make it to my house through that wind somehow, and they'll be in my yard, I promise.
They, you know, even if you put down the pre-emerge, it doesn't stop all of the seeds from germinating, and then obviously you have seeds that blow in after you put down the pre-emerge as you know you move into April and May. So
yep, indeed. I wanna kind of twist a little bit here. We're talking about that starting up the sprinklers, doing that preseason fertilizing. What about things like aerating and planting new grass seed or laying down sod? What do we need to be thinking about if we're going, you know, I had this bare spot in my yard last year. I've worked in, I've listened to you, and I've worked in some of that that enhancement that we can put in there for the soil. When do I plant the new grass? When do I lay the sod? And, well, how soon is too soon to start aerating? Because I've got an aerator I need to use.
Yes, you do. And aeration is probably the number one thing that you can do for your grass to really help it come back nice this spring. You typically don't want to do that while we're in freezing temperatures because, again, the ground is going to be a little bit frozen, and you could also damage those roots if you do it too early. But, man, as we get into the early April timeframe, you can absolutely start aerating. You can even start at the end of March if the weather allows. A couple things when you aerate, you want to make sure that it is wet. When it's wet, then you pull out some really nice plugs out of your yard, and that is going to really help those nutrients and air get down to the roots of your grass. It's also going to allow when you fertilize after you aerate, which you should do, you're going to allow those nutrients to get down to the roots of your grass. One of the reasons why aeration is so important, especially in the spring, is because your yard has gotten compacted over the winter months. Again, whether it's due to a lot of traffic from kids running and playing, you know, soccer and football and all of that, and it's just gotten really, really compacted, or maybe it's just from pets, or maybe it's from, you know, you taking a trail from your car up to your front door every time that you're walking out of your from your driveway up to your front door. So it's going to really aid in that compaction that's happened over the winter months. And so you're in terms of kind of the order of things that we recommend to your question, aerate, fertilize, and overseed.
All right.
In that order. And you will really help your grass come back strong and really allow it to thrive as we move into spring. You can also do some top dressing. Soil, as we've talked about, is really important for your yard, and for your yard in particular that has really terrible soil, you're not going to be able to put down enough soil amendment.
Right.
But in those areas that are really struggling, grab a couple bags of soil amendment, maybe grab a truckload if you're going to hit your whole yard with it, and put down just maybe a quarter inch or so. And we recommend doing that. You can do that before you aerate. And then as you aerate, it'll actually help mix that in just a little bit. But, TLC in those areas, that's what it's really going to take to kind of get that grass to come back. Maybe you have that little corner of, from your driveway up to your porch, and everybody cuts that corner off. We see that all the time. Those areas, they just need a little extra TLC. So you might need to take a rake out there, rake it up, put down a little bit of that soil amendment, aerate it, fertilize it, overseed. Give it a little bit of extra water over the kind of those months of April and May. And before you know it, it'll look really nice again as it fills back in for the summer months.
Awesome. I'm going to ask this, try to get it, you know, in fairly quickly here as we're coming close to the end of the show. I love my aerator. I love my lawn sweeper. Right, that saves me in the pine needle world is just being able to put that lawn sweep on the back of the lawn tractor there. But the mowing deck on my lawn tractor died last year.
Uh-oh.
I want to keep my tractor. It's almost the same price to buy a new mower as it is to buy a new deck. So I'm thinking I might want another mower. Is there anything that I need to look for specifically or stay away from specifically? Because, you know, the one I've had for 10 years is just that regular tractor that you think of with the deck right smack in the middle. But you see all of the zero turns. You see all of the, you know, it's not a zero turn, but it's got the deck forward. You see the deck backward. What's a good mower, Ben?
Oh, man, you have opened a can of worms here, Rick. There are lots of options when it comes to how you mow and what you use to mow your yard with. Whatever you end up purchasing, the tip I'll give you is keep your mower blade sharp.
Yes, yes.
But in terms of, you know, the type of mower to buy, if you have a smaller area, say you only have a couple hundred square feet, you shouldn't be buying a big zero-turn mower. It's just going to be, it's overkill for what you need.
30 seconds, yard's done.
Buy a little, you know, 21-inch, you know, type mower from Home Depot, Lowe's, something like that, and you'll be just fine. There's electric mowers that work pretty well, again, for a smaller area. Larger areas like you're talking about, they make some really good zero-turn type mowers. And lots of options that you have kind of from a price point perspective as well as a fuel type perspective. So you got to answer some of those questions before you go down to the hardware store and decide what to purchase for this upcoming season.
Awesome. But most important, sharp blades.
Sharp blades.
Sharp blades.
You got it.
Awesome. Well, Ben, thanks for joining us this week. If folks have questions, if they want to get in touch with you guys to say, hey, I'm thinking about this project, what would it look like? How do they do that?
Yeah, thanks for having me back on. Again, Rick, you can reach out to our office at 719-495-6300. Again, 719-495-6300. Or online at fisklawnscapes.com. And again, that's fisklawnscapes.com. And we're happy to answer any questions that you have and come out and get you a free estimate on your yard.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Ben. Folks, if you've got other questions that you'd like to have answered, feel free to give us a call, 719-500-8700. That rings right into the office there. You can also send an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com. Would love to hear from you. We will be back next week continuing to talk about your money because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.